B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to The Owl's Nest. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for tuning in to The Owl's Nest. Today, we're very excited to welcome to the show Dream, assistant coach of the Houston Outlaws. All right, welcome back to our regulars, and hello to any new viewers. Now, if this is your first time visiting The Owl's Nest, make sure you hit the subscribe button and like the video. We're actually going through a little bit of a format change here. You're not going to have as long as the video today, but starting next week, you should be getting more videos throughout the week. So as always, I'm joined, of course, by Jake Lyon, and with us today, a very special guest, assistant coach of the Houston Outlaws, Dream. Dream, welcome to The Owl's Nest.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So it's been a pretty long season for the Outlaws. There's been some struggles trying to overcome the difference in record since the sickly start at the beginning of the season. Even with your loss to Philly last week, Houston's been looking a lot better than they were. So I'm just wondering, how's the team been feeling about their performances lately compared to the beginning of the season?
Sure. So it definitely has been a little bit up and down for us. I think other teams have had similar experiences, both with at the beginning of the season, kind of adapting to travel and then adapting to hero pools and then adapting to everyone being quarantined, right? And playing online matches. So there's been a lot of learning this season. But we struggled definitely a little bit at the beginning. Then we felt like we were kind of hitting our stride for a little bit and then started struggling a little bit again. And now we're kind of on an upswing. So we're working to try and sustain that, even though we haven't won recent matches, but we've been playing some good teams, like really, really close. So we feel like we have been improving compared to some of our rough patches earlier in the season where we felt like maybe we were beating ourselves, not to discredit other teams, but it felt like it was just, we were getting smashed. We were just making so many mistakes. It was really disheartening, where it feels like now we're losing, but we still feel like we are making good plays, right? And the other team is just playing very well and beating us. And obviously we're still not really satisfied with that, still working really hard to improve, but it feels a lot better to be able to look at a week and say, hey, even if we didn't win this match, you know, we've made progress as far as, you know, the stylistic kind of small things we want to do to mix up how we play a comp or our comp structure, things like that, that can carry on into other metas kind of as hero pools rotate.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I can definitely relate to the feeling of like losing well and like wanting to, you know, the difference between losing badly and losing well, feeling like, you know, you're not like, the worst thing is when you're like, oh, we just play bad in the match, but like we're doing way better in scrims. That's like the absolute worst feeling because, you know, you had better potential, but to actually at least be realizing what you're going for and be building on it, I think is a positive sign for the long term. And especially as it comes to like this season being so unique, right? There are possibilities of like turning this season around later on with like, whether it's with the monthly tournament structure, getting some bonus wins somewhere, or just like slipping into playoffs. And the fact that there's no hero pools there could kind of shake things up as well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, realistically, all it takes is a good run over a couple of days in one of these tournaments to get a bunch of bonus wins and hop up the standings, especially where we are kind of in the lower middle of the pack in NA right now, record wise. A few bonus wins can really hop us up a few spots in the standings really quickly. So we're really optimistic that we can make that happen. And it's good motivation for us to like keep working hard as well as other teams that are a little lower in the standings. It keeps us all like really, really motivated right now because we can kind of leapfrog pretty far if we show up in one of these tournaments.
So speaking of motivation, both, you know, from a coaching perspective, Dream, and then from a player's perspective for you, Jake, you know, how do you keep from backsliding, you know, even when you do start to suffer those wins in instances where, you know, you almost had it, like against the Dallas Fuel or against the Philadelphia Fusion?
Sure. So, I mean, for me personally, what I do to stay motivated is I just think about what improvements we made over the week and then look at, did we do these things well? Did we do them efficiently? Did they take us like a long time to figure out the adjustments we needed to make, or to get the adjustments we needed to make to stick, right? and look at how we can adapt things for the next week. I just in general put in a lot of hours. That's just how I am. I just really enjoy the work. So the motivation isn't a super big issue for me. I really like working in Overwatch. I really like working in esports. But definitely it's a long season. It can be hard. And we do make sure that we're constantly talking to the players, because even if we feel as coaches that we're improving as a team, maybe players feel like they're individually not improving as much as they could be, or maybe they feel like that some element of the team, maybe our, you know, ult combos or our positioning for retakes, just any small thing, isn't where it needs to be. And if any of those things feel like they're kind of stalling out or like they're not being addressed and we don't have a plan on how to deal with them, then that can really hurt player motivation if they feel like there's just some thing that is just always in our way that we're not dealing with. So as coaches, to try and help with player motivation, we just try and make sure that they always have individual goals and things that they can work on themselves, and that there's no big stumbling blocks in the overall team play that are kind of getting in their way or frustrating for them. So they still feel like all the time they're putting in scrims and review is, you know, productive and efficient. So we don't want everybody to feel like they're just endlessly grinding, right? It's a really long season. So we want to make the most out of the time we get from everyone.
Yeah, I know from my perspective, I was always pretty bad about, like, I never really could accept the loss, like, no matter what. Like, for me, now I can talk about, oh, yeah, the team played pretty well and, you know, give them some credit in the cast. But I never felt that way a single time, I think, playing where it didn't really matter to me if we lost. I just felt, like, bad and very upset, and it never really went away. But the only thing that could solve it was winning another match. So for me, I don't think that is a healthy mindset or anything, but that sort of was the way I approached it, with just that the one thing that you can kind of do to get out of it is to focus on the next match, right? Just like move on from the defeat, figure out how you're going to approach things differently and just win. And so for me, I mean, I think that's a good thing. I think good thing to hear for the team that like there's these like ways to find your wins, whether your wins are in like the individual goals, the team goals, beyond just winning, because I know that was always a stumbling block for me, where I basically wouldn't ever be happy unless we won.
Yeah, it's always the worst to feel like you lost and then feel like next week it's just going to happen again. And that's what makes the motivation hard. So even though I definitely agree, you know, our match against Philly this last week was a close 3-0, but like it was a 3-0, man. I'm not happy with getting 3-0'd, obviously. But feeling like we can identify issues and areas we can improve helps us feel like, okay, it's not just going to be the same thing again, you know, this week, and keeps motivation high. Because if it just felt like we just had another loss in front of us, I mean, no one has that attitude where it's like it's just unwinnable, but if it felt like we were stagnating and we didn't know what to do, then it gets a lot harder, right?
So one of the other bigger changes that fans have been getting used to is hydration on the main tank role for some matches. You know, most people are used to Mooma being the sole main tank for two seasons, save for a little bit of Fact Fiction in 2019. How did hydration end up stepping into that main tank role?
Sure, so I mean, originally when Hydration came into the team in the off season, there was always the idea that he had the flexibility to play tank and DPS, right? That's one of his big strengths as a player. That's one of the reasons we were excited to bring him into the team. So from the get-go, that was the case, and he was getting scrim time on main tank this whole way, right? He's been involved in scrims. The reason why he's been much more involved in matches recently over Mooma is actually that Mooma has been having some pain in his wrist and hand. And it is not super easy to get him to a specialist in the middle of COVID to make sure that that can be dealt with. So we're just wanting to play it very safe with that. And he still like gets scrim time. He still plays on stream, but there are just some days where he'll just be like, you know, it's hurting today, it's hard to play. And when that happens, you know, near a match and he's not able to get that practice, we're worried that it may happen on match day, etc. And we just don't want to put too much burden there. We don't want to give him like a lasting injury or anything like that, right? We're relying more on hydration, but we're really happy with how hydration has been playing, honestly. And he's played a lot of different heroes already in a short time. He's been playing Ball, Monkey, Rhyne, Orisa, like basically anything you can ask a main tank to play, he's pulled up on for us. So and again, we feel that his performance has been pretty good. So we're really happy with where he is, and we're just thankful that we have a roster that can kind of let us have that flexibility.
Yeah, honestly, I was going to echo the same sentiment that, well, it sucks to hear about Muma, but I think you guys are definitely approaching it in the right way, like better safe than sorry when something like that is happening. You know, and those injuries are like not really well understood right now in esports. Like people don't, you know, sort of everything is carpal tunnel, but you know, like everyone's different. Everyone has a different issue, but genuinely, I don't think they're well understood at all in esports. Probably an area for future growth, but like that's more of like a long-term thing. And like, during COVID, you're exactly right. It's like doubly hard to deal with. But hydration, it really impressed me. Like when he came in, I was casting the game and I was like, oh wow, it's surprising, but I guess they're probably going to play like Orisa and Wrecking Ball, you know, mostly. But then he totally surprised me playing like a ton of Winston and a ton of Rhyne, these like core main tank heroes that I frankly wasn't expecting to see him on. But having fine games, like having good plays, playing well coordinated with the team. So I was definitely impressed with that. I think it speaks well to the Outlaws' future, given that a lot of the top teams have been, you know, implementing more diverse rosters, like not relying on six players, but, you know, something like 8, 9, 10 players actually getting a lot of play time on some of the best teams. That's been a competitive edge, I think, especially in the days of role queue and hero pools.
Yeah, and one thing I'll definitely say about hydration is even though he doesn't have as many hours playing main tank as a lot of the other like main tanks in Overwatch League do, obviously he's been a DPS player primarily for his pro career. He is someone I've worked with a pretty decent amount of players, and hydration is bar none the player that if I sit down in a review with him and I give him some notes, some playstyle things that we need to change, some positioning things that we need to change, he is able to like implement them instantly and then do them consistently without me needing to remind him going forward. And that's a very, very unique thing. And it's super helpful in hero pools because even though you're playing similar heroes and the comps are kind of similar, sometimes the play style on the individual hero changes drastically from week to week. So him being able to make those adjustments really fast, even doing them like mid-map, mid-block, and being able to just kind of flip the switch and do it has been really, really impressive to see. And it's not something that I've seen from really other players at almost any role. He has a really, really good mind for the game.
Well, speaking of the hero pools, with the Summer Showdown officially underway, there are some new hero pool rules in effect, now spanning 2 weeks and then having 2 weeks of no pools. You, along with the Florida Mayhem GM, Albert, were actually pretty vocal on Twitter about the strain that the weekly pools were putting on players and coaches. What are your thoughts on the newest format change?
I'm really happy with the format change. I do think that it helps a lot with kind of mental fatigue and player fatigue, having to relearn metas every week. I would like to see eventually longer than 2 weeks on these rotations because it still makes sense. Like right now we're in the second week of a hero pool. From my perspective, the kind of diminishing returns on hours put in for a coach hasn't kicked in very much yet in week two. I still feel like if I put in 65 hours this week, they will be efficient hours. Whereas, you know, week five, week six, that's not the case anymore. You don't need to put that much time in. So I would eventually like it to go longer, but I will say that as the season has gone on, I've been really, really happy with how the league has gotten quicker and quicker at making changes and being iterative and listening to concerns coming from teams and players and organizations. I really, really appreciate that. It's something that has helped us a lot. And this 2 week change, I know Albert talked about it. I know multiple people suggested it. I didn't know anything about Albert talking about it. I talked to the league about going to 2 weeks, 2 weeks. I think multiple people brought up that they really wanted that change to happen. So I'm glad that kind of a lot of people around the league are of the same mind, kind of on the same wavelength about that, but then also that the league leadership will put that change in place for us. I'm really excited to see this second week of the Hero Pool, see what adaptations teams make, and then I'm also super pumped for the 2 weeks of no Hero Pools. Yeah, I think they could maybe nerf Echo a little bit more, but I'm still excited for all the heroes being available. I think there will still be a lot of variants in compositions, a lot of swaps and counters, so I'm really excited to see how it pans out this month.
All right, so finally, I have to know, as a longtime Outlaws fan myself, has Harsha actually sent any pictures of the Lone Star Challenge trophy to Arrow yet?
I don't actually know. I'm sure I would bet that he has, just because he likes to gloat and kind of go back and forth with Arrow. Obviously, they know each other pretty well from being on USA together, mm-hmm. and just history in the scene. So they have some friendly jabs back and forth. So I'm sure he has, but he hasn't shared that with me. But I would bet the farm on it. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Dream, so much for giving us some of your time today and talking about the Outlaws.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Robbie. Have a good one, man.
Yep. So if you enjoyed our chat with Dream, we also spoke with Dallas Fuel head coach Arrow last week, so make sure that you check out that in the playlist to your right. Otherwise, visit Checkpoint XP for a wealth of other content, video, and otherwise. And make sure that you're following Jake over at JakeOW on Twitter and Jake_OW on Twitch. Until next time, guys, remember to stay on the payload.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.